I'm just going to warn you right now, it's going to be horrible. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be horrible. We went through the first band meeting of 2016. These guys are so ready to play. So it's going to be horrible. It's just, we're going to be coming with so much energy, it'll be way too much over the top because they've been off for a month. So it's like letting horses run. It's going to be fun, but God help us all. Who knows what's going to happen? But it's going to be fun. We'll all be sore in the morning and a little bit probably regretful of some of the things that happened. But this is going to be loud and it's going to be fun. Just want to wish everybody a happy new year. Hope your holidays were great for us. Our Christmas was fantastic. Our babies are healthy, thank God. And as long as they're happy, then that's the two things as a parent that I kind of pray for every night. And got to spend time with Ms. Sherwood's family down in Georgia, which they allow me to be family now, which is nice. And that's it. Had two Christmases, one in Nashville and one in Oklahoma.
You're just full of information today.
I am. I'm trying to get everybody caught up. What's going on? And just getting started. Excited that we're here for a lot of reasons. One of it being that this time last year we were in Buffalo.
Yes, I do recall saying, let's go somewhere warm next January.
So this was fantastic. We jumped out of the plane. It was amazing. So everybody's excited, and it's just a good time, good spirit. So everybody's fired up. I'm not really good at talking at you. I'd rather talk with you. If anybody was here last time we were here, then you know how this thing works. Much rather just take questions and talk. If you've got something you need answered, I'd be happy to get it done. And also in the one-on-ones after, we can address the same questions again up close personal if you want to get a better answer or whatever you do. My only request is if you do ask a question, if you please just tell me who you are. Tell Ms. Sherwood, or tell us who you are so we'll know who we're talking to. That would be fantastic. If there are no further questions. Thank you very much, Ms. Michelle. Well, we're excited about it. I got to tell you, after being gone for 15 years, coming back, I did not trust my pen. So if you're a Garth fan, you noticed on Man Against Machine, there's not a lot of Garth writing in there. Crazy thing was, though, after 15 years, there was a lot of writing from writers who actually grew up in the era of when the 90s when we were doing our thing. So there was a lot of Garth-influenced writing. There was a lot of things I felt very comfortable singing that I had no part of writing. So that was kind of a cool circles in. With that said, I do have to say the one thing now, 14 months of touring, the one thing I keep hearing is, where's the Garth stuff? So that's what this next album is going to be. It's just a don't think, just have fun, and it's going to be some pretty stupid stuff. And we'll see if it's a good idea or a bad idea, but it's going to be Garth, I can tell you that.
Mr. Brooks, Roxanne Barr is here with NBC6 South Florida.
Roxanne.
I would say, Man Against the Machine has a lot of Garth in it. Now you have Mom in there, sending down the road, one of the reasons why you quote unquote retired.
Thank you.
Which I hope that word never comes out of your mouth.
Yeah, my retirement is behind me, yes.
Thank you. You know, send them down the road about children, mm-hmm. as a mom's meeting again. I think that there's a lot of that, the fish in there. I feel like you use a lot of elements of Mother Nature in your music as well. So I think that there's a lot of you in that album.
Thank you very much. None of those I had a part of writing, which I love. Because send them on down the road, tore me up. Sorry to say, Mom, since I didn't write it, I can say it. I put it in the top five greatest country songs ever written. And it's probably the only song that's ever rivaled The Dance for me, as far as being a Garth favorite for me. So I love that song. And just looking for signs, I believe concerts, I go to concerts all the time. And nothing pisses you off worse than going to a concert and the artist that you love dump an entire new album on you that you haven't heard yet. So we come to bring the old stuff. We'll talk about it tonight. We come to bring the old stuff and then look for the signs for people bringing the new stuff. If you can go, okay, this is what you're looking for, let me do this for you, then it kind of gives you that window to do some new stuff. But there will sprinkle a little bit of new stuff, but 99% of the stuff you're going to hear tonight is hopefully stuff you already know.
Ms. Sherwood, what will we hear from you tonight?
A little bit of the same. For me, my part of the show is definitely, I can't imagine doing a song and not doing songs like She's in Love with the Boy and How Do I Live. And then we have a song actually off of the album that I released last year called Prize Fighter that was the title of the album that has really taken on a cool life of its own on the road. And we have some kind of a, it has a kind of a cool moment in the show for me. So even though it's a song that people aren't as familiar with, there's a really strong connection. We use video, and it's really one of my favorite parts of the show. So and then getting to sing with this guy, it's pretty fun, because I opened for him twice, but we never actually sang together on those tours. And so it's fun to be out there on stage with this guy. We have a good time.
Sweet. I'll give you a spoiler alert. The greatest part of the show, the greatest moment of the show is not mine, which I hate. So I'm still trying to work to get that somehow, but it's in her part of the show. It makes me cry every night, and I just love it. But you'll, hopefully, if you're coming, we'll see it. Yes, sir. Come on.
Out of all the places that opened up your tour, what made you choose South Florida?
Well, just we played Miami. We had three nights in there in '96, maybe '97. And what happened was Chicago went on sale in September of 2014, I believe. And they call you real early, and I'm thinking, oh crap, nobody showed up. Pick up the phone. They say, hey, we're in show three right now. We think we might do more than that. They call you back at show six, nine. All of a sudden, there it is. There's your world. And you're like, thank God the people showed up. Well, they do it in the next city. Well, Atlanta, I think we had five. And then St. Paul, Minneapolis, we had 11. And this started happening. So what happened was they had to throw the tour out the window, because now seeing the 90-some cities you saw before would never fit in the 3 years that we put in here at this pace. So you had to cut it down to 50 or 60, and then the criteria was get in a room and just say, okay, where'd you have the most fun? That's what it was. Miami was three of the most fun days of my life. I didn't expect it to be, just because I'm from Oklahoma. I didn't know anything about Florida, and especially the very far tip of it, you know? But man, they were fantastic. So we came back for more of that. So actually the pressure's kind of more on you than it is on us, because we know the time we had here last time, and we've come back to have some more of that. Thank you.
What would you do while you were here in South Florida? Do you have time to make a gap, grab some good Hispanic food, go salsa dancing, maybe?
Do I look like I dance? Squarest, whitest guy on the planet. No, that's not what I do. Eating, yes. I'm an expert at that. If it was an sport, I would have been in the Olympics four or five times running from the bar. But yeah, that's what we do. We'll try out the local flavors and stuff. Like Portland had a place called Voodoo Donuts. I think I gained 7 or 8 pounds while doing that week.
Trying to balance it. It's hard, especially because there's such good food everywhere. And if it, you know, gets a little sunnier outside, I like to get outside and walk and see, you know, like see the city that you're in.
You do everything as a family here. So there's 50-some people with you. So band, crew, and you got to know the band guys. If anybody's ever seen our show before, the band guys are the same guys. So if you saw us 20 years ago, if you saw us, you know, whatever, it's the same guys, same crew. So we do everything together. So we'll all get out and do something. We're thinking about getting a theater and all go and see Star Wars together. There's four or five in the group that's already seen it, but that's still at least 50 of us that haven't, and we want to see it together. So, yes, ma'am.
Hi, Cheyenne Malone, ABC Miami.
Hi, Miss Cheyenne.
How are you too? The question's to both of you.
We
were just talking about this. It seems like there's been a big evolution of country music. It's ever changing. It's reaching more mainstream people that maybe not have touched country in the past, and now a lot of people are coming forward and fans in the country music world. What does that mean to you, and where do you see it heading?
You want me to start?
Wow, that's a tough one.
I know, it is a tough one. I mean, it changes all the time. I mean, this was something that was being said in the 90s, when every few years the music starts to evolve and changes, and sometimes it goes back to more roots stuff, and then it kind of gets more pop, and then it kind of just goes back and forth. And when that happens, new fans always come into the format. I know when I got my record deal 2 years after Garth did, and we were on tour together, I always say that if you were making records, country music records in the 90s, you were selling records largely because of this guy. Because so many people said, oh, I don't think I like country music. And then they saw him in concert and they said, oh, I like this. And that made them check out Dwight Yoakam and maybe me and maybe, you know, other artists. And so I think it made that audience bigger. I feel like there really are country music fans everywhere. I think there should be a support group. It's like, it's okay to love country music. You can come out and say that you do. So I think it changes as you know, there's something, a little bit something for everybody. And that's kind of what country music has become, is kind of that melting pot where If you like traditional country, there's something in there for you. If you like bluegrass, you like really folky stuff. If you like more kind of pop sounding stuff, I think it's still the place where good songwriting goes to live. So there's a little something for everybody. Really lyric driven songs that speak to people.
Yeah, and I think the thing I love most about country music is the audience is the size of it. The whole silent majority thing. But if you want to compare numbers, step up the plate, man. It's nice. They give you numbers that can compete with any format, any artist 40 years ago or 40 years from now. But at the same time, they want you to be the guy they see walking around being the guy next door. So it's the best of all worlds, man. It's really cool. I've got to work. Been very lucky to work with pop acts. And once they get in the door, they're sweet. But the second they head out the door and get out to the real world, they have to put on that thing, which is, you know, for me, I don't have to. You know, I get to be me, and it's fun.
Love it.
What was your name?
Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Miss Jessica.
Just curious if you could talk a little bit about the fact that both of you get to do what you love to do and get to do together.
Oh, what I love to do is be with her. So it's good to get to do that together, you know? It's cool. Yeah. I finally found something I love more than music. It's cool. So now to get to do them both is phenomenal. No pressure on your end.
Well, you know, when we first started seeing each other and Garth was living in Oklahoma and I moved out there, I was still on tour. And I cut my touring dates way down. I was doing about 40 a year. And music is what feeds my soul. I mean, I can't imagine not singing, not performing. But it was so bittersweet because I would go on the road and be doing what I love to do, but I was missing the thing that I love the most in the world. And so it was kind of, I was not happy not performing, but I wasn't happy out there because I was missing him. And so this is the perfect balance. It's the chance to get to do what you love to do with the love of your life. So when you're packing up to leave and getting ready to go on the road, you don't have to get mad because you're actually going together, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, and it's pretty cool artist to artist to watch her because she's a theater girl. That's what she does. You'll notice if you come to the show, when we're out there doing our thing, when Garth's out there, God, there are so many mistakes, so many flaws. Everyone's laughing. It's just fun. When Trisha comes out, it stays fun, but you'll even watch the band kind of stand up a little straighter when she comes out because she will remind you what a female artist should sound like, what a female singer is. Once you hear it, it's just wow. And it's just so, that's a cool thing, but she's not used to reading this. And over this 14 months, watching her learn, watching her take her falls, her mistakes, learning the next day, getting it and doing better and better. Her show is becoming greater and greater, which pushes each other to hopefully outdo one another, which when it comes to competition on stage, hopefully the victor are the people that get to see. You had a question.
Yeah, Ben Crandall, South Florida Sun Sentinel.
Ben? Have we met before?
Hey.
Yeah. No, I was just asking. Yeah. You look familiar. Yeah. No, I don't know if it was through
that.
Baseball or what. But yeah.
You guys are playing 3 shows here. Tickets move quickly. You know, Madonna's only playing 2 shows. what do you make of the response? I mean, when you were thinking about coming back and doing a tour, you could not have predicted 8, 9 shows in the city, right? I mean, this is insane. It's great.
Yeah, we got very lucky. First of all, you know, you're scared to death to put your hat in the ring to go, we'd like to tour again, but what if nobody shows up? That's tough. Because it had been 2014 is when we started, and 98 was the last time we had toured. So to get the response that we got is sweet. But truthfully, to think, then take it from there going, okay, if we do 50% of what we did in the 90s, because we sold 5 million tickets in 3 years in the 90s, we're doing 134% of what we did in the 90s right now. That's the number. It's crazy. We're 14 months in, and we just bypassed our 3 million ticket. So to see them coming out like this is crazy. And if people go, was that pressure? It's like, are you kidding me? No, it's like more ice cream for me. I mean, this is fun. Anybody comes to the show, it's going to hit you about halfway through, if not earlier. Holy cow, this guy doesn't do anything. We're doing all the work. That's what it is, man. You just go out and start it. But the truth is, I'm going to work you guys like a rented mule. It's going to be so much fun. It's going to be so loose. And like I said, tonight will be looser than most because we'll come with such great intentions and such strength and totally overshoot it, you know? because we're so fired up. But it's going to be great. It'd be good.
Hi, Natalia Jones, Guardian Times. How are you?
Hi, Miss Natalia. I'm good. Thank you.
Awesome. So I know you did a duet with Justin Timberlake. He covered Friends in Low Places, and he made a surprise guest appearance for one of his concerts.
Mm-hmm.
You had to pick an artist who you, out of your country genre, who you would want to do a song of theirs or a song of yours. Who would it be?
That's tough. She had Clarkson come out, and you know Clarkson has no ceiling whatsoever. She's very rare, one of those very rare artists that I don't know if I've ever heard the top of her range. So it's amazing. But I got to tell you, the person that kills me probably the most right now was actually at the show in Chicago. It was weird to have her in the audience, knowing that she was in the audience all the time, because it was a lot of pressure. It was Lady Gaga. She's a monster, great entertainer. And the thing she did at the Oscars just showed everybody, hey, you flip the coin. You want to go talent? She can go head-to-head with anybody. You want to go entertainment and the craziness? She can go head-to-head with anybody. Another little singer like that, and she probably doesn't want me to say this, is Miley Cyrus. She'll try and make you think she's crazy as she can be, but that little gal is talented as hell. I mean, I said at the sound check with her, right off the left, mic wasn't on, she was just singing, it's just her. That gal's got talent pouring out of her ears. So, but the truth is, I really enjoy getting to hang with this artist right here. She's fun.
Good answer.
She never gets old. We were in the studio till about 2 o'clock this morning, finishing up the Christmas album. And to hear her do "What Do You Do at New Year's Eve," it's like, God. It was supposed to be a duet. I walked out about 30 seconds into the song. I just walked out of the studio because I knew it wasn't going to be a duet. I wasn't about to open my mouth after that, you know. So it's just her doing her greatest Ella, you know, impersonation, and with Trisha kind of mixed in there. But it was amazing. So I think I've got
so
my
there's a Christmas album we're working on.
Yes, so there's a Christmas album we're working on.
Surprise.
Yes. Yes.
Hi, Mike Carroll with SouthFloridaCountryMusic.com.
Hey, Mike.
She was asked talking about Kelly Clarkson and stuff. Can fans expect any surprise here just this weekend?
No.
Not that we know of. We don't always know who's going to show up, you know. It's been interesting.
Oh, but Christmas. So. For Christmas, we're about to go out. Where were we? San Jose.
We were in San Jose. We had just been spending time with Timberlake came back out.
Timberlake came to San Jose, and Chuck, the road manager, came and goes, hey, we got one more guest here. It's like, was this a surprise? Because you're going to want to meet this guy. And Johnny Depp. So it's like, why? But then, you know, it's like, you never know who sings anything at all. I'm trying to have Carrie Underwood's husband, Mike. You know, I see on Facebook, he's singing The River. Well, he's sandbagging. This guy's a good singer, you know. Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard from this. Maybe it's because his wife's so famous and sings all the time. But so I called him out. Well, you know, we come through Nashville or any place he's at, I'm going to get his ass on stage and see how he does, because he's good. So I like those kind of special guests, too, the guys that you never think, you know, they would do. They're fun. Yes, ma'am.
Southern T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Miss Earwood, what is the one thing that you will make in your kitchen for your hubby that he will absolutely enjoy?
Mashed potatoes. Is that right? Would that be the answer?
That's it.
We have, you know, for New Year's in my family, we always did the lucky food, you know, so black eyed peas were for luck. And he hates black eyed peas. And so, and I love them. So I have to make mashed potatoes, and I hide some black eyed peas in his mashed potatoes. And he knows this.
I'm 5 years old.
He's fine, yeah. But that's the way he eats them. He actually might like black eyed peas. He tells me that he wants a pile of mashed potatoes.
I wish I was that smart.
But yeah, so it's pretty simple stuff that you like. He likes casseroles. He likes all the food, all the meal in one bowl, you know, kind of thing. So it's all good.
Also like the stuff you can eat the next day. I just do. Because growing up, last six kids, we never had leftovers. So leftovers are pretty cool.
Miss Earwood, will you be back for the South Beach
I will. I'm hosting a brunch. We're on the road, actually.
Yeah, she'll be holding the show up. We might have to start a little
bit. We're in Worcester. Worcester. And so I'm going to come down and host a brunch and then go back. I did that last year. We were on the road. I can't remember where we were. I had to get back to, I think it was West Coast, maybe. But It's wonderful. I love it so much that I'm willing to. I mean, I come in after the show, I get in the middle of the night, and I don't get to be here very long, which is torture because it's wonderful and the weather's great and the food's amazing. It's a great weekend, but I'm excited just to get to be here for a little bit of it.
Yes, ma'am.
Working together, obviously, personally and professionally, do you guys ever critique each other or solicit advice, and how does that pan out?
All the time, and it doesn't go over very well.
We don't really ask for advice anymore, but we still give it.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of just, it's like anything else. There's a nice way to say it and a not a nice way to say it. But the truth is, what you're trying to say, there's not a nice, not nice way to say it. It's just how you kind of word it sometimes, just, hey, you ever think about trying this or trying that?
And we're best friends. I think we have a real respect for each other and what we do, especially musically. We talk about, if I hear something, I'll go, I think this is great, or I think this is a mistake, or I think you should give me that song. I say that a lot.
So it's good. It's good. Most of the things that we have, you got to remember, as an artist, you have an ego. You wouldn't be in this business if you didn't have an ego. And there's good ego and bad ego. And I think most of the time when we get in trouble with each other, it's the ego that's driving the ship. I know most of the times I'm mad at her, it's her ego. But that's usually what I've learned. It's not that much about music.
That was a joke. It's always his fault.
It's not that much about music, but it's cool. And then we both know we're each other's fans. If I had my phone on me, I'd show you a picture. I always carry a picture of us. We met 20... It was 1987, so what was that, 29 years ago, for the first party, and I've been a fan since I met her, because I met her through listening to her sing. So she knows I'm a huge fan, and she's very sweet to me and my music, so it's never taken like, you suck, you need to do this, it's just, this is what I think is an artist. Yes, sir?
Man Against Machine rocks.
Thank you.
You just mentioned that you're working on some new songs. I'm wondering, do you find inspiration in a different place now than you did then? Are you thinking about different things now?
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I live off a live show. It's what I do. I just love it. And ever since In Pieces, it's kind of turned more from studio releases to reflections of the live thing. In Pieces was the first time where Ain't Going Down, Calling Baton Rouge, all the things that you knew on stage would work. And that's kind of where I'm at now. I've been out on the road for 14 months. And I got to tell you, this next piece is going to be just stupidly far to the left. It's just going to be all kind of live feeling things. If I had my way, I've seen the show now 170, 180 times. If I had my way, I'd find two more really live pieces, and I think the show would be totally rounded in the right direction. And those two live pieces, I'm hoping we're going to find on this next round. Yes, ma'am.
Trisha, you seem like a very good, wholesome country girl. What do you think about the infamous third verse in Friends in Low Places?
Oh, I love it. I love watching everybody in the audience who's been, rowdy all night get even crazier because they get to say ass. I just think it's hilarious. That they're like, we just said ass. I think it's the most hilarious thing ever. She said I was a very well-rounded, nice, manly country girl.
Yeah,
did you hear that?
I'll introduce you to her later.
I'm on my best behavior.
Well, you guys have been very, very sweet to us. Thank you very, very much. And Ms. Kim, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, great. Thank you. So if you're a crew